Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I'm going to leave you with two words. Be the final two words for this summer. No goal.
You just got to play. There's no other answer to it. I mean, you're supposed to dump the puck in and stay out of the zone. No, we just wanted to play. The more they acted like idiots, the more we wanted to play.
Well, that's Lindy's opinion. I've seen his teams do the same thing, so he ought to not talk about that. That's it.
Tell Lindy no.
Ah, classic. Lindy Ruff. It's never a bad time to bring that stuff back. I don't care who the coach is, but obviously matters more today. Lindy Ruff in 2 hours is going to be named. Officially has been named, but he's going to be talking to the media as the once again coach, head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll have an extended Sabres Live today. That'll begin at noon. That'll run through the press conference until 2 p.m. And then One Bills Live from noon till 3. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. They'll be recapping and talking about what Lindy Ruff had to say down at KeyBank Center. A guy who'll be down there, our good buddy, WKBW-TV Channel 7 sports director, Matt Bove. He joins us on the Western Hotline. And Matt, you know, we hear those clips just a little while ago, and I said to Joe, I think depending on your entry point to the Sabres, it kind of might be how you view Lindy Ruff a little bit differently. I mean, he goes back so long. I mean, even when I was a little kid, he started playing at 7 years old when I was growing up. But also, I think it matters that, you know, we grew up here and now we cover this team in the media. All three of us, you, your entry point as a fan and now a media member. What do you kind of make of and think about when you think of Lindy Ruff returning to the organization?
I had like a full on heel turn yesterday on social media. I got a lot of heat just because I said I didn't like the move. Now, as time has gone on, I've warmed up to it for various reasons. That is not an indictment on Lindy Ruff. My reason that I was just skeptical about this was because I wanted them to explore all options. I think when you have a 13-year playoff drought, you owe it to your fan base to look into everything humanly possible. And from the minute that Kevin Adams spoke last Tuesday until the announcement was made yesterday, it felt so obvious that Lindy Ruff was going to be the choice. And, of course, that's what ultimately happened. You play that clip coming into me, it's pure nostalgia. As a kid, every great memory I have of the Buffalo Sabres is directly tied to Lindy Ruff being the coach of this team. I think he's a very good coach. I just wish that they would have explored all their options to see if maybe there was something better out there. They did it. Now we have to see how this plays out.
Right. But we'll hear that for sure today, I would think, or something along the lines of it. But it would be stunning, right, Matt, if they did some exhaustive search in 6 days. You didn't have enough time.
No, there's not enough time. It's impossible that they did. I'm sure that they got on the phone with a couple different people who were candidates for them. They had conversations with them. And then they probably just said, listen, some of these guys check the boxes that we want, but Lindy checks all of the boxes. And then obviously he's going to be a hit here. I just think that it was kind of a no-brainer for them. But sometimes the no-brainer move isn't always the best thing that you can do. I'm just thinking about this team's long-term potential. Do I think Lindy Ruff gets the most out of them immediately? Probably more so even than maybe some of the other options. Yes. But is he the best long-term answer for this team that's got still so much young talent and that I do think has the talent to eventually be a contender? That's the question I don't know yet. But luckily for the Sabres and luckily for Lindy Ruff, he's inheriting a team that's got some serious guys who could absolutely be playing playoff hockey at this time next year.
Yeah. Do you think they get more good PR from the fans that are going to love this for hiring Lindy Ruff? Or do you think maybe it even equals out? Because they're definitely getting criticism for even the idea that you would do it for PR, right? That you would do it for nostalgia. There definitely is another side of the population that is, you know, definitely criticizing them for this.
No, I think they get more good PR because I think that the people who are criticizing them were probably criticizing them anyway. And I don't know if those are people who are making their minds, you know, they're changing their minds or buying tickets or going to games next year. I think this is for the people who are casual fans who remember Lindy Ruff and who now all of a sudden are like, wow, okay, yes, I'm back. I want to go back. It's the same thing. It's obviously a much bigger scale, but it's like the Goathead game. You know, when we were growing up, they wore the goat heads. You go, you buy a ticket to that game because it's nostalgia. You go back in the arena and it feels like you're a teenager again and you're watching the Sabres play. So for Lindy Ruff, there's going to be a lot of people who feel that way. Listen, I'm guilty of this. People in Western New York are guilty of this. I've spent my entire life here. If there's one thing we love in this community, it's nostalgia. It moves the needle so much here. And Lindy Ruff absolutely is a home run as far as nostalgia is concerned. Just very interesting, though, that Kevin Adams put out in a statement that this move wasn't just about nostalgia and it was about all the other things, which is partially true. I just don't think fully true.
Okay, I saw that yesterday. I saw a quote. Where did that come from? Now, I know that it was on Wyshynski's page. I read it. However, I'm wondering, was it a statement or was he answering some question from somebody about nostalgia? I think context is important here. I don't know that. You guys can correct me.
I'm assuming
I don't know.
Greg reached out to him specifically. I'm assuming that.
Yeah, I was on a golf course, so I was just kind of, you know, skimming through everything.
Okay.
I'm assuming the same thing. I'm assuming it was the response sent to Greg.
Ooh, what was your next shot after Lindy got hired?
Bad. I was playing
bad,
guys. I was like playing well. I can specifically tell you where I was. I was about 100 yards out with a wedge. And for me, that's a pretty comfortable spot. And my buddy, who is a massive Leafs fan, yelled across the fairway, "Oh my God, the Sabres hired Lindy Ruff." And then my immediate thing is, "Oh my, are you kidding me? Like, my one day off this week, wow. I'm not thinking about work right now. Now you go into work mode. I hit a wedge, fat, it goes short, I'm in the bunker. I ended up doubling the hole. It was the worst hole I had the entire day just because my mind for the remainder of the round was, oh my God, they just hired Lindy Ruff.
Listen,
I cannot believe that we're doing this.
We need to put an asterisk on all Matt Beauvais-Lindy opinions from here on out because he's definitely going to associate Lindy now with the bad golf shot that he immediately hit after.
Hey,
no
you
doubt,
got a wedge
no doubt.
In your hand, and you got a wedge in your hand and you're 100 yards out, you should hit the green. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I will tell you, I actually, this morning, I went back on demand, guys, to hear when the news broke with Bulldog, who was on yesterday, because I didn't hear it when it broke yesterday. And I said, boy, I wonder what happened. And what happened was he had gone to break, and they go back to, and they come back, and then Zach comes on to do an update, and he says, we have breaking news basically coming out right now. So Bulldog, it didn't happen while he was like on the air. He was in a break when it happened, but he tells everybody when they come back, okay, here we go, Lindy Ruff. Now for me, I was coaching a travel baseball scrimmage. My phone was off. I'm sitting there, I'm coaching. I got the kids. I'm like, oh, let me just kind of check my phone to see what's going on. I open it up and I'm like, oh my God, the Sabres hired Lindy Ruff. And I turn and tell parents. And guess what they all said? Yeah, we know, Sal. Because they had already had their phones on and they were already, you know, into it and knew it. I didn't know. How about you, Joe? How did you find out?
I was literally just on the couch waiting. We were going to take the dog for a walk and boom, I got the text message. That Lindy, nothing crazy, which is funny because I remember where I was when he got fired. It was at the library.
Same.
When
Same.
He got fired.
Same.
But I didn't. Yeah. So you'll have a more memorable story because you were on the golf course. I might forget it just because I wasn't really doing anything when he got hired.
When they fired him, I was at Buff State. I think it was my last year at Buff State and I was in class. And I think that's honestly, I think I got the alert from like the WGR text line because that would have been before. No, I was definitely on Twitter at that point, but I think that's how I found out the alert from the WGR text line of the Buffalo Sabres have fired Lindy Ruff. And that was like a monumental moment in Buffalo sports history. But for me, sure. That was before, you know, I covered the team or I even worked at the local news station at Channel 7. So that for me was like peak fandom. And then obviously my life and my job has evolved so much over time. It is just weird to think that, okay, I remember when he got fired, and now here I am when he got hired. What the heck happened in between?
Matt Bove joining us on the Western Hotline. My last question on Lindy for both you guys here. All right. Broad question, but I'm interested from both of you. What's his mission? And I say that because, let's think about this for a second. The mission of Don Granato was clearly develop these young kids, get these young guys better. We have a really good pipeline. Like, he was the right guy for the job, and he did that. He got them to a certain level. If you remember when Sean McDermott was hired, right off the heels of Rex Ryan, we were in a media tent and a scrum that at training camp with Terry Pegula, and it was asked, like, what do you want from this team this year and this coaching staff and this organization? He said, to gain respect back in this league. Okay, so there's a certain mission here. What's Lindy Ruff's mission at this moment coming to this organization? Joe, what do you think it is?
I mean, end the drought. Simply, like, that's,
yeah,
that's,
see, is,
that's
it, is it that
point.
Is it that's the bar, right? I mean,
yeah.
Right? I mean, just get to the playoffs? Is that what we're talking here?
The minimum. That's the, I mean, I don't even know if you need to call it a success. If they just,
right.
You know, if he's here for a couple of years and they make the playoffs and they don't really do anything of significance past that, you won't be able to call it a failure, I don't think, if he's broken the drought. But if you,
right.
After 2-3 years, still think, like, this wasn't some big smashing success, I think, you know what I mean? Like, that to me is the very minimum. You've got to get to the playoffs. That has to happen.
My question is, I agree with everything Joe said. My question is, how do they surround Lindy Ruff on the bench, and what is the long-term vision of this team? Because I can get behind the idea of if Lindy Ruff accomplishes exactly that, but then they have a Seth Appert in place or a Mike Pekka in place as the kind of heir apparent working behind him, I can get behind that idea. My question is, though, how long is Lindy Ruff going to do this? He's 64 years old, and in coaching, that's not that old. He could very well coach for another 5-10 years, and it would not be earth-shattering. But if this is what they do, if they get into the playoffs and then kind of do the same thing that they did, which caused him to lose his job all those years ago, how do you move on from that after these last 13 years? Is that just good enough, or is it get to the playoffs and then after a year, winning a Stanley Cup is the new goal? That's what I'm really interested in, because I still think for as good like as the Sabres might be next year, I don't know if Lindy Ruff gives them the best chance for sustained long-term success to ultimately go win a championship. So I think that they're going to be better next year than they were this past year. I think Lindy Ruff probably still has a job if the goaltending in New Jersey wasn't horrendous and if they didn't have a bunch of players get injured that were really important in the first half of the season. He's going to get a lot out of this team, but I feel like the ceiling next year is probably second round. Get to the second. I'm watching these playoff games for the last couple nights, and I'm just like, man, these teams are so good. Like, these teams are so good, and I can't envision myself watching the Sabres play in these. I can see the Sabres beating these teams random nights in the regular season. Like, they definitely have the talent to do it, and they've won a fair amount of games the last 2 years. But I'm watching these teams just beat the heck out of each other, and like Colorado and Vegas and Dallas and all these teams, and then in the Eastern Conference, even like Toronto and Boston last night. I'm like, man, these teams are good. So that's, I don't know. I think he has to make the playoffs next year. He'll have a longer lease than that. Like,
right.
If he misses the playoffs 1 year, it's not like they're going to fire him or something. But I feel like that has to be what they accomplished. They have to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah. This is it, the only place I would push back on what you just said is, man, the Islanders and the Capitals just look like they do not belong with the rest of these teams. They are getting destroyed in the first couple of games. But, like, to your point, you know, like, making the playoffs and ending the drought would be awesome, but there is going to eventually be a next step. You don't want them to make it and then look like what the Islanders looked like last night or what the Capitals look like, where you just are getting destroyed by clearly better teams.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, okay, if they make the playoffs next year and they lose in 5 to the Florida Panthers, like, is that really – it's a step in the right direction. It's kind of like the Bills ending the drought and then realizing that, okay, this team is about to accomplish more. But as you start to look at that timeline, Lindy Ruff is a year older, 2 years older, 3 years older. Like, how long are they going to do this with a guy who's about to turn 65 in the middle of next season? I just think that that's a really interesting way of trying to figure out what they put around him, because I think in this circumstance, those assistant coaches mean more than it would for a guy like Don Granato, who, you know, until he was fired, it's not like he was ever going to, you know, just leave or something like that.
We are 2 days away from the NFL draft. You can watch it on ABC. Of course, we're going to have coverage right here on WGR Sports Radio 550, but that's where Matt Bove is the sports director over at Channel 7, WKBW-TV. Have you settled on what you think the most likely outcome is for the Bills in the first round? Not even player. I mean, trading up, staying, trading out of the first round. Where are you right now on that?
Yeah, the most likely outcome is that the Bills make a minor trade up and get one of the receivers that should probably be available in the late teens, early 20s. So the two names that I'm very much focused in on are Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU and A.D. Mitchell from Texas. I think that those guys fit a lot of what the Bills are looking for. Of those two players, I like Brian Thomas Jr. more than Adonai Mitchell, but I would be, you know, I won't be surprised if that's what the Bills do, just because, hey, history has a way of repeating itself, and Brandon Bean in these first rounds has traded up four times since 2018. So I don't think it would be crazy for him to do it again, and I just think that's more likely than them kind of mortgaging their future and giving up a future one, a future two, a first this year, and trying to go up and get one of the big three. That's what I would like them to do. I just don't think that's the most realistic outcome.
You agree, Joe?
I tend to agree as well. You look at the history. 4 of 6 first-round picks that they've moved up for, and usually it's a little bit of a smaller move up. Yeah, I'm thinking they don't just want receiver, they want the right type of receiver. And not everybody fits that. You know, like, I don't think Worthy fits that. McConkey kind of does, but maybe not all the way. Roman Wilson, some of these guys might be really good receivers, but I agree. I think you get to a point where you have conviction that you like the guy and he fits the scheme that you're about to employ. I think Thomas does. I think that's the guy they're going to try to move up for.
All right, so Matt is also the co-host with me on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, an original Odyssey podcast. You can find it wherever you pod, and of course, it's on video as well on the South Sports YouTube page, and I'm going to tell everybody, you need to go there today. Go to the video, go to the audio, it doesn't matter. Last night, Matt and I had a chance once again to chat with NFL VP of Broadcasting, Mike North, one of the head schedule makers. Matt, an hour and a half, how fun was that? We could have gone for another 5 hours.
We finished the conversation. You know, it's obviously an audio podcast, but we do it on video as well. So Mike North left the room that we were in, and Sal and I were both sitting there. We could see each other, our cameras on, and we were both just smiling ear to ear because the conversation was so intriguing and so good. We're both schedule nerds, so we absolutely love it. But we also could have went easily another hour and a half. He answered so many questions. There was so much insight there. I have already actually gone back and listened to it. I listened to the entire episode this morning as I was getting ready, just because I wanted to make sure, did we ask good questions? Did he give good answers? What stood out from the conversation? So yeah, it's my favorite episode every year. And if you are somebody who likes the schedule, you know, obviously I'm probably a little biased here, but I really do recommend it.
And obviously we're invested in what's going to happen with the Bills. I think one of the bigger takeaways for me that would be relatable to our audience is the Bills aren't going anywhere when it comes to prime time. I'm going to say what Terry Pegula said about Lindy Ruff. Lindy ain't going nowhere when he first bought the team, and then eventually he finally did. Eventually that might happen with the Bills, but as long as they have Josh Allen, Mike North made it clear, Matt, that the Bills are going to be once again very much featured in the schedule, including lots of primetime action.
Yeah, I would imagine based off of just kind of reading the tea leaves here, I think they'll probably get several primetime games at home. But I also don't think that those will all be stacked at the end of the year. I think they'll be spread out, maybe a little bit similar to last year, where they had a primetime game in late October, then another primetime game at home in early November, and then they didn't have another one at home until much later in the year. So I think that that's probably going to be what it looks like, probably the maximum, which is 6. Primetime does not just mean it has to be a night game. It means basically not a Sunday afternoon game, which is something that Mike cleared up. And I also don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we see the Bills playing on a holiday next year. Which holiday, I don't know. But, you know, the Bills are big-time must-see TV. And they want to put those big-time teams in those windows. to make sure that they, you know, have success. Like, there's going to be NFL games on Christmas this year. Could the Bills be on Christmas? I think it's a possibility. Could they be on Thanksgiving? I wouldn't rule it out. And I wouldn't even necessarily rule out a potential that the Bills play a home game on Thanksgiving. Like, we know there's going to be a game in Detroit. We know there's going to be a game in Dallas. But we don't know about the late one. So I think there's probably a 50-50 shot we see them play on a holiday this year.
Wow. All right. That would be a Wednesday if it's Christmas.
Yeah, it would be a
Wednesday. One thing that was interesting to me, and this comes up in the podcast, but we'll tell everybody. He also said, this is interesting, if there's a team that's going to play on Wednesday, on Christmas, they're going to play the previous Saturday. There's going to be two games that Saturday. And because you got to have four teams playing, because out of those four teams, two of them are then going to match up on Wednesday on Christmas. So instead of going Sunday to Thursday, you're going to have a Saturday to Wednesday. So that week, if your team has chosen to play on Christmas, you're also playing Saturday the previous week.
Yeah, it could be like a situation where the Bills play the Patriots on Saturday. It honestly kind of makes a ton of sense. Like, the Bills could play the Patriots and the Jets could play the Dolphins. And then you would have the Bills against either the Jets or the Dolphins on Christmas Day. Like, to me, you know, that was one of the things that Mike said multiple times. It's going to feel, it's going to sound like a football game. To me, like, Bills, Dolphins, and Buffalo on Christmas Day sounds like a football game. That sounds like a really fun matchup for people to want to watch. You could say the exact same thing about the Jets, but something about, you know, the snow, Buffalo, Christmas Day, this rivalry that has happened for the last several years, that feels like it would be a really cool game that people would be really into and want to watch. And obviously there'd be like fantasy football implications with those two teams. So I just think that, you know, it, obviously I don't know anything. We just had this conversation, but every year I kind of walk away with it thinking, okay, I think I can start to put the pieces together. And that's one of the takeaways I had from yesterday's conversation.
Very interesting. All right, Matt, tell everybody about the coverage on the draft. It's coming up in a couple of days. You guys have it on your network.
Yeah, we've got the coverage starting at 7:30. We've got a special edition of our show leading the charge. It'll be myself, this fella named Howard Simon, maybe you've heard of him, and Joe Biscaglia. Yes. The three of us will be getting ready for the draft, and then coverage starts. The first round is on ABC. The second round and third round are on ABC. So just a really fun day of coverage from Thursday up until Saturday on Channel 7 locally.
You got it. Right. Thanks a lot, buddy. We appreciate it, and I know you're going to be down at Lindy Ruff's press conference today, so we'll be looking for that coverage as well. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk soon.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, you got it. That is Matt Bove. Real quickly, Joe, Bills-Texans, we specifically asked Mike North about that. Like, okay, Diggs gets traded. How much does that change what you thought about Bills-Texans? He basically said it didn't change much. You know why? They were already really thinking about Bills-Texans.
Yep.
He said, he gave the example, he said, it didn't go from like a C to an A. It went from like an A minus to a solid A.
Okay.
You know what that tells me, right? That's a national window game. Doesn't have to be primetime night, but it's a national window game.
Yep. And which uniform will the Texans wear? Because have you seen the new drop sale of the new Houston Texans?
I have not.
Look?
I'm going to look during the break.
My goodness. I would go as far. I don't know that it'll be everyone's cup of tea. I would go as far as to say it might be my favorite non-throwback uniform change that I've seen.
I am looking at it right now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Logo. It is the there's a horned helmet on the red one that I really like. It looks very fresh, I'll say.
This H, they have this H-Town. H-Town's a big deal. They're going with the H. The H is a big theme, it looks like. Houston Texans uniforms. All right, more info from the Mike North interview last night. When we come back, I'll fill you in on a couple of things he said and kind of tease that so you can go and listen. I can't give you everything because it's an hour and a half long, and I want you to go listen anyway, but lots of good stuff there. Sabres introducing Lindy Ruff also at 1 o'clock today. We'll have that live on WGR.
Not taking our foot off the gas with the Bills. I don't think there's any question. They have one of the best players in the league, and that is the must-see TV that we've been talking about here. What makes me want to go sit in front of the television for a few hours? It's somebody like that, and he's phenomenal. He's fun to watch.
Somebody like that, of course, is Josh Allen. That is NFL Vice President of Broadcasting Mike North, one of the head schedule makers for the NFL, who joined Matt Bove and me on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, a podcast. It's a video podcast. It's an audio podcast. We went an hour and a half last night, and I could have gone another 10 hours with him. I'm a nerd for this stuff, but it's so fascinating learning about how the schedule's made. And I can think by now we kind of understand and know, but there's always different things happening in technology, but also just what the league thinks about trends and teams and platforms, networks, streaming platforms, international games. Like, we cover it all. We talk about all of this with Mike North. So there's a couple ways that you can listen. And I would tell you, if it's between watching an hour and a half movie tonight or going to watch slash listen to our interview with Mike North, go watch slash listen to our interview with Mike North. Because I'm telling you, you learn a lot. You get a lot of insight on how the league operates and views things. You have these preconceived notions about what the league thinks about how to set up the schedule, what's important to them, what's not important to them. And then you come out and going, okay, well, wait a minute. Okay, no, I thought that, but that makes sense. And really, the other part, the challenges they face. It's not that simple, right? That, well, you know, the Chiefs and Bills, the Chiefs are really good. We're going to put them on six primetime games. They're getting two on ESPN, two on, you know, Thursday Night Football. No, you can't do that. There's so many challenges they face to taking care of their network partners and making sure that all their bases are covered. And yes, there are minimum types of requirements, but not in the sense that you might think. It used to be where you got to be on primetime at least once, and they went away with that. You know what the minimum is now? I found this fascinating, Josh, actually. The minimum now, and I said, are there minimum requirements? It's actually the opposite now. Like, because every game can be on every network, meaning, you know, it used to be where the ABC was only on the AFC was only on CBS and the NFC was only on Fox, right, for the away team. Now you can kind of do it wherever. You can find a Bills-Dolphins game can be on Fox. It was a couple years ago. Because of that now, Josh, what I found interesting, he said, CBS and Fox, they have to have a minimum number of games, basically, for those teams and those conferences, because they're still the main networks for those conferences, even though you're not going to get every one of those games like you used to. So they want to make sure CBS still has enough Bills games, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I wonder if they're going to kind of spread them out, or if they're all going to be in like a certain spot of the year. You know what I mean? Like, is there going to be a trend of like X amount of Bills games are on this station for like a certain amount of weeks? You know what I mean? Like, I wonder what like the stipulations are, or if they just have to be kind of whenever, you know what I mean? Like, they can be scattered around or in consecutive weeks or something like that. But yeah, I think it's kind of interesting that you can get the variation there, but then it also leads to, you know, the whole streaming thing and like finding everything on different platforms and all that good stuff.
I mean, we talked about them opening the season in São Paulo, Brazil. That's on day number two, because, you know, you got the Chiefs are kicking off the season as the Super Bowl champ home week one, Thursday night. The next night is in São Paulo, Brazil. and it is the Eagles and the Packers. I asked him, how did you determine the teams? How did you determine that's going to be on Peacock? He went through all of that. By the way, I didn't tell you how you can listen to all of this. I just teased it. Wherever you pod, doesn't matter. It's iTunes, Spotify, and of course, the Odyssey app. We want you to listen through there as well. Subscribe to It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. I have a link on all my social platforms, whether that's X or Instagram or Facebook, and you can find it there. But also, I have a YouTube page where all of this lands. Every time we do a podcast, we do a video podcast. It's Sal Sports on YouTube. Subscribe to it, okay? Help me out. Subscribe, but also because then you're going to get the latest episodes video-wise with Matt and I and all the guests that we have. Just did a mock draft with John Scott a few days ago, dueling mock drafts. That's all on the Sal Sports YouTube page. So go subscribe to that. You'll get the latest It's Always Game Day in Buffalo video version there. And then, of course, if you're just an audio listener, you want to do it while you're, you know, bumping around, running, whatever, that's on any way that you can get your audio podcast. So check that out. An hour and a half. It's all right there. This morning, it dropped down to the audio. It was on video last night. The Bills still rate very, very highly with the league. They're going to get more primetime games. I'm not going to say more. They're going to get about as many as they have the last few years. Now, ever since last night teasing the pod and saying that to people, I've had the reaction you would think, which is, okay, can we go back to 1 o'clock? All right, this is really messing with me. And I get it. I get it, folks. Like, it's tough. It's tough on me. Like, believe me. Ask my boss. We'd say it all the time. Like, boy, like, we have to really adjust a lot of things that we do. Now, we love being in this spot where the Bills are relevant. People are listening. People are talking about it. No doubt about it. But it's challenging on all of us. It's challenging on you as a fan. It's challenging on you as a consumer. It's challenging on those of us who work professionally to cover the team, to be a part of the broadcast, whatever it is. It's challenging. It's also an honor, right, for the Bills to be there. But I'm just here to tell you, the toothpaste is out of the tube. Like, you're not putting it back for the league as far as all of these different days and times. They're now playing on Black Friday pretty much every year going forward. It seems like they're going to play on Christmas every year going forward. They said they wouldn't this year, and then they're going to. That's a Wednesday, okay? We're getting Saturday games in December every year. We've had that for a while. Thursday night, not only Thursday night games, flex scheduling came in last year on Thursday night. Flex scheduling came in on Monday night football. Flex scheduling, we know, on Sunday night. You got Sunday afternoons, Sunday night, Monday nights. You got holidays, Thanksgiving, night game, Saturdays in December. There's no way that you're getting out of this now. Even if you don't have Josh Allen anymore, years from now, Josh Allen hopefully wins a few Super Bowls, retires, goes off into the sunset. Maybe the Bills become kind of a middling team. Who's their quarterback? Are they not that interesting? Guess what? If that were to happen, they're still going to find their way onto some of these types of games. So that's not changing. But in the meantime, while they have Josh Allen, you just heard the clip right there a little while ago from Mike North. While they have Josh Allen, while they're still considered one of the best teams in the league, they're going to be featured heavily by the National Football League as far as the schedule is concerned. The answer to the question you just heard Mike North a minute ago play the clip, okay, that Josh played, that said, as long as they have Josh Allen, right? That was an answer to a question I said to him, which is, hey, every time I do a radio interview around the country, I'm asked, is the Bills window closing? They had all these changes. They traded Stephon Diggs. And then I look and there's the Vegas odds. Bills are still one of the top, five teams to win the Super Bowl. Bills are still the favorite to win the AFC East. So you know what? The window's not closing. They have Josh Allen. The odds are the window is not closing. What does the NFL and what do the schedule makers believe? And he said, yeah, we're not taking our foot off the gas on the Bills. And then it comes to things like, you know, specific games. We talked about the Texans, the Stephon Diggs, revenge factor. Yeah, it's revenge matters, but you know what? That was already a big game. Two AFC teams, an up-and-coming team that everybody kind of really saw last year take a step, and he said, we blew it last year. He said the league blew it with Houston. They didn't know. I don't think there's any shame in that. A lot of us didn't think Houston would be that good. And then you have the Bills and how good they are already. But also, week one. That was another one we touched on. So week one, the Bills have played on week one on the road and in prime time each of the last 2 years. So they went to the Rams to open the season 2 years ago when the Rams were the defending champs. And then they went to New York last year to face Aaron Rodgers and the Jets on Monday night. So I specifically asked him, like, would you consider that when making this year's schedule and saying, look, we can't do that to the Bills again. The fans have seen them on the road twice. We want to put them at home. Now, personally, even before he answered, I will tell you, my personal opinion on that is the league doesn't care. The Cincinnati Bengals opened on the road 7 straight years, folks, from 2009 to 2016. I believe those were the years. Look them up. Now, they weren't the Bengals like contending every year like they are now with Joe Burrow. So it wasn't a big deal. They were either going to be home or away at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, essentially. But they were on the road 7 straight years week one. I don't think the league cares after 2 that put them on 3 if you're the Bills. But 2 years in a row, prime time, on the road, probably not necessarily looking at that. But he said that's not like something overly we're looking at the trend and saying we got to change it. But sure, they do start to think about those teams at a certain point. The question is, when does that point become, right? So there's a lot of things that get baked into all of this. And again, please just go check it out. It's really, really fascinating to me. Like I said, I'm a schedule nerd. The other thing I actually asked him about too was last year, we get into the very end about the Pittsburgh game, moving the game, the snow, and what that was like, and how much, you know, what the communication was with the league, the schedule makers, the, you know, politicians, governor's office, obviously, that moved it, the stadium, the Bills, and then what impact that might have going forward on scheduling games. All of that on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Mike North joined me and Matt Bove. Super cool stuff. Check it out once again, wherever you pod, and also on the Sal Sports YouTube page. We will take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Tuesday and then get to the Sabres live show at noon, which is going to extend to 2 o'clock today because they're going to have the Lindy Ruff press conference live at 1 p.m. down at KeyBank Center.
Well, I really believe that there's a lot of great pieces in place, that we're in a win-now situation. This is a group that is ready to take the next step. By no means do I think it's going to be easy, and I don't think the players will think it's easy, but it's something that we're going to work really hard at.
All right, that's Lindy Ruff today. No, that's pre-press conference because that's not happening for another hour and 10 minutes. Where was this posted you just played that from, Josh?
The Sabres social media team posted that to their Twitter account, actually. Okay. It's about a 2.5-minute interview. It's just a short little thing.
Okay.
You know, they've got some pictures posted, too, of him just kind of walking around the arena. Looks like he's met Alex Tuch, so there's that as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, the changing landscape of media and social media and platforms, we're getting a lot of info and things about Lindy Ruff already before we actually hear from him today, right? So you're going to see that. The Sabres social media team is all over it, and they're going to obviously have some video and things they put out like you just heard there. And how about the Bills? They have tweeted out pictures of the new Highmark Stadium under construction. Wow. I mean, it's going up fast, Josh. I don't know if you've seen these, but I reposted and I retweeted the pictures.
Yeah, I saw them at a glance, and it's going quick. Like
it is. It's only 2 years from now. It's going to be done. They're going to open up in 2 years. So I'd imagine either now or in a, you know, 2 years and a few months, I guess, is how you want to look at it. But you know, opening game for the new Highmark Stadium is going to be in the 2026 season. And you look at these pictures and say, man, it's fun to kind of watch this. I love stuff like that. I'm not a handy person at all. My wife will tell you, like, something gets broke, I call somebody. I don't fix anything. But I love the process of watching things getting built, right? And the kind of the from start to finish and time lapse. She always says, you'd love to watch a time lapse of that. I would. I'll watch time lapse of things, how they change, like the weather moving in even. It's super cool to me. Like, this is going to be really cool when we get a time lapse of this stadium. But right now, you go to the Buffalo Bills X account, and it says, what a view. Check out these photos. And there's a link to more photos, but the 4 they have posted there just looks incredible. Really does. And that I was there the other day, obviously, last week for Brandon Bean's press conference. And Sean McDermott and Josh Allen and Terrell Bernard spoke that day. As I left, I saw it and I said, okay, I can see the steel coming out. You can only get so close right on Abbott Road there. So I took a picture of that and tweeted it out. This is obviously way different. These are aerial shots of showing it. And it just struck me that, man, I hadn't been here in a few months. Now I come back. There was no steel in the ground the last time I was there. Now there's all these steel beams up, and you see all the cranes everywhere. I'm going to go back there again on Thursday, obviously, because the NFL draft is happening Thursday night. And, I mean, literally could be even – there's going to be more done, but maybe you'll be able to see it. Maybe not after a week. Like, notice changes, but it's going to be wild to kind of be going back there again through, you know, off-season workouts and then into the season and see the progress as they get going here. But check all of that out. Check out the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast on video or on audio. Check out the Lindy Ruff press conference today. We'll have that for you. That's live right here on WGR. Here's the day for you. Sabres Live is up next. They're going to carry you through that press conference at 1 o'clock. They're going to take you up till 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, we'll have a shortened version of One Bills Live. That'll be until 3 o'clock today. And, of course, then it's Shope and the Bulldog. Mike and Chris will be breaking down everything Lindy Ruff said at today's reintroductory press conference. Lindy Ruff is back, the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.